cancel it.
June 2nd special. Have fun.
What, you want us to cancel it?
Gary said he's okay. We didn't need the AWS.
I can't hear what you're saying. I can't hear you, Scott. Yeah, my phone broke. Done. Kaput. I'm on my cell phone. It's not so good.
You should just come over.
I guess so. It's a message.
I think we're all on our cell phones.
Okay, yeah, but you don't know what I have for a cell phone.
All right. We'll go around the room and you can find out who's here since we know now who's on the phone. Should we start at the end?
Pat Dyke, Project Management.
John Rearsich, Core.
Tammy Mackey, Core.
Bob Cordy, Core.
Lisa Wright, Core, RCC.
Deb Bowes, Core.
Matt Cuds, Curriculum Structure Program Manager.
I'm Mike Klasovich, I'm with HTC, Core.
Joel Prusi, I'm with the Core.
Mike Taraski, Project Management.
Dana Weber, Core.
So we have a room full of Core folks.
Sounds like it.
All right. Okay, so the purpose of this meeting basically is just to discuss these MOCs that we have in the work coming up and get concurrence on it. We needed to do this prior to our normal FPOM meeting due to the contracting timeline. So with that, we will... Are there any questions? No? Great. Moving on. So we'll start with the backup AWS. John?
Yeah, we had the MOC that was sent around. I'm sure people have had a chance to review it. And real quickly, the bottom line is that the work at the East Lateral will require it to be out of service for the entire in-water work period from 12-1 to 228, more or less. And because of this, to do the regular maintenance at the North Ladder, we would like to coordinate that in-water work period early, from the 16th of November to the 30th of November, and then other work that would occur outside the in-water work period that is within 50 feet of a fishway includes some work in March, which consists of some bedrock cleanup and excavation in the parking area near the East Ladder. And so we would like to talk about potential fish impacts there and how we can get our work schedule to minimize fish impacts. So with that, maybe I'll hand it over to Pat here, and he can talk a little bit about the project and what we're looking at.
Sure. Thanks, John. I think in we've worked the Dalles AWS construction schedule now kind of back and forth with amongst our team. And there's a lot of work, and really the tight constraints of the site is going to limit the contractor, at least we feel. But until we get a contractor on board and we see his schedule, we're not going to know for sure what he's going to request. But it was our assumption that rock excavation would need to occur in the month of March. So in looking at it, kind of the way our core team has laid it out is during the in-water work window, we would do a lot of drilling along the alignment of the pipe in the parking lot, and then we would use the expansive grout to fracture that rock. And so what we're talking about actually doing the excavation would be amongst fractured rock. But as we all know, rock doesn't fracture in great, nice, neat lines. And so there's thoughts that there would be protrusions of the bedrock that would need to be chipped back in order to clear enough room for the AWS pipe to be installed. Right now, we kind of have the pipe laid out in 30-foot sections. So we would lay 30-foot and then of pipe and then excavate the next 30-foot and kind of stagger the pipe as we go down. So, you know, it wouldn't be a continuous rock removal. It would be intermittent. I don't think there's any impacts to having the contractor do that at night, knowing that there is the potential to impact the ladder with some vibrations. If I had a drawing, but since nobody's here other than Core, sorry I didn't email it out, but I can definitely have it scanned in. But basically what it showed was if you offset a line from the lower ladder towards the parking lot, and then if you offset that 50 feet, and then if you offset another line 50 feet from the upper ladder, you basically have encompassed the whole pipe excavation along the alignment. So there's really not a part of this pipe alignment that isn't within 50 feet of a ladder structure. So that's kind of what the drawings show. That's what we're talking about kind of doing. As I said, what I think I'm asking for is really just some concurrence or actually to see what kind of regional heartburn there is for doing some rock excavation in the month of March. Like I said, we could do it at night, but what I want to do is kind of have a feel for what the concerns are from the FPOM team and what might be possible so that as we bring our contractor on board, we can inform them correctly of what we think is going to be acceptable or not acceptable for rock excavation outside of the normal in-water work window. And we would then bring a finalized plan forward once the contractor finalized it, again, if it changed from what we've already proposed.
Yes, Gary, from my perspective, if this can be done at night, I have no concerns with either one of your items here, with either the in-water work period extension for the north ladder or for the protrusion removal. The one question I would have is, if you do it at night, I don't have any comment, really. But you were talking about 10 days, three periods of three-day blocks, with how much time between the blocks?
It's kind of hard to say, but I would expect at least a week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Yeah, this is Tom Lawrence. I'm the same. Honestly, I'd even probably, if you needed it, I could give you like an hour before dark.
Yeah, I could too. I mean, especially if you're going to do a three-day block with a week between the blocks. I don't. That time of the year, no problem.
Great.
You're done.
Excellent. Anyone else have any comments out there?
Unless Trevor thinks we're both wrong.
Excuse me?
No, you guys got it. Sounds good.
Unless Trevor figures they're wrong.
I mean, what do we have? We have steelhead. We won't have any spring Chinook at that point.
No, it'll be overwintering steelhead, and winter steelhead if any are moving above there, which they really shouldn't, but some do.
There should be.
And they fall back. So there is movement in the ladder, but I would think that if we give, there's a week between these three-day periods, and this is done in the evening hours, I don't see any impact.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Does the team feel, is there any difference between like the first part of March versus the end of March? I mean, is there any concerns if this activity ran kind of late into March?
I mean, it's Tom Lawrence. I mean, obviously, earlier is better. And then we might do something like at the end of March, if we start seeing steelhead numbers bump up, then we might say, just do it at night only. And I'd be less excited about giving you extra time, but it all depends on numbers.
And honestly,
sorry, I missed what the question. I've got phone problems here, but were you saying do it late in March instead of early March?
Yeah, I was just curious on, I mean, obviously in working with the contractor, just want to, you know, be able to advise him correctly, and I was wondering if there was any concern from the group whether this activity pushed late into March, if that would change the perspective.
I think the last week it would change, but not the third week. I think you got a week there of flexibility. You get in the last week of March and you start getting some spring Chinook, that's kind of a different issue then.
Okay.
But it's still, issue's still probably okay.
Okay, I think that that would be something, and I mean, if it was going to run later, especially if it goes into April, then I think we have to talk. But even then, if you're doing this work at night, you're probably okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That was my thinking.
I think that works, and I think honestly, you know, from the project's logistics standpoint, you know, the project's less traveled at night anyway, so it's probably a little bit easier on the operating staff if this work is done during the night too. So that may just work out all the way around.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to mention too, this is Cordy, with the schedule for doing the north the last 2 weeks in November and dewatering that, we are probably going to reduce what we normally would do on the dewatering schedule, which is dewater below tailwater. We might forego that this year just because of the lack of time. Are there any concerns with that? Will ROV it to inspect the grading?
Yeah, Bob, I was just going to say ROV that, the gradings down there, and you should be fine.
Yep. We'll do that.
And if there's anything of concern during the ROV, then and there's more time needed, then do we maybe we come back?
We may need to come back depending on what we see. If it's a
you would have a concurrent outage. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, if there's you know some concern.
That could be an issue. Then it would depend on the fall Chinook run. If the run drops down fast, then you're probably okay. But if there's a lot of fish moving and you have a concurrent outage, that's a problem for fall Chinook. That would definitely be a problem. But we'd have to talk about...
Well, the concurrent outage, that would run into December, right?
Yeah, I mean, if these guys are going to start on the east ladder on the 1st of December, I'm assuming here. So... you know, you'd have the north ladder if you wanted to go an extra week or something like that. That's
right.
Current outage. Or you'd have to delay starting the east ladder work for that period of time that you needed.
Okay. I don't expect any problems. We haven't seen any problems with that grading in quite some time.
Yeah, those are all strapped down, right?
Yep, they're all strapped.
Yeah. And we'll inspect it this summer, too.
Cross our fingers.
And we'll do the mid-season, the August inspection with the ROV as well.
Right. So you'll know going into that what you got.
Could we do any maintenance on the north in March? I mean, the east ladder will be back up.
Early March.
Yeah.
If you want to take it back down and do some work over there, I don't see that as a problem.
Yeah, it's possible. It's kind of a hassle having to take it down twice, mm-hmm. but it is possible.
Yeah, I know. It's,
if we
you could have some. Feel
that
hanging out in there,
right?
Not the easiest.
Hey, Gary.
Although if we have some problems with grading, if for some reason we find blown grading, it's probably not something we're going to want to run all winter.
Sure.
We'll fix it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, if it's that kind of a nature, if it's something that has to do with the ladder itself, you might.
Yeah.
You know, some extra rock removal or who knows what. Unlikely.
Hey, right. Hey Gary, this is Trevor. Looking at one of the nice things of calling in is you can look on your computer at some data while you're talking about this stuff, but I'm looking at some of the DART 10-year averages for Chinook and Steelhead at the Dalles, and it looks like we're about 30 fish per day starting in March for Steelhead, and that goes pretty consistently from the 1st of March about to, I'd say, 325, somewhere in there. And then it does shoot up to about 90 fish a day. So there is a point there where getting late into March could be a concern. It looks like, up till like 325 or so based on the data.
Right, yeah. That's when you start getting a few Chinook in there, too. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like only about 8 a day, though, on average.
Yeah, I know. It's low unless you have an early year or something like this year.
Yeah. Just thought I'd mention that.
I still, Trevor, I don't see, if they're doing that work at night during that period, I still think we do.
Right, yeah. But I do see, a good reason to try to be out of there before it gets too late in the March.
Right.
Okay. Any other comments on that one? All right, we'll move to the...
Before we just move on, I just want to mention the second in-water season. You know, again, there's probably a lot of things out there that we could coordinate. It's too soon with working with a contractor to see what would work best for his schedule. But I think there will probably be some request again next year or the second in-water work window. The one activity that I am almost certain would need to occur outside the normal fish water window would be the final removal of the cofferdam and the installation of the steel grating. We'll just have a barge in the forebay, but that would be, you know, something that would be outside the normal in-water work window. I think that activity is only a day or two to remove those bulkheads and to install the grating and to water up the whole system. But as we work with the contractor and develop his plans, then we will definitely probably need to also come back to this group for that second in-water work window to coordinate those activities fully.
Okay.
Just wanted to put that out there as a reminder
it doesn't sound too insidious, so I don't see that you'll have a problem, but yeah, we should look at that.
So as far as
things may change between now and then.
Okay. As far as dewatering schedule, it should be pretty much a duplicate of this winter, 3 months for the east, and then probably a 2-week November for the north.
I think so. I mean, without working with a contractor, it's hard to predict. I could almost see flipping it next year or the second season, and the contractor would probably be better off starting on the AWS a little early.
Oh.
And then saving the north maintenance to the latter half of the in-water work window.
Okay.
But again, you know, it would be just a wild guess at this point without working with the contractor. But I think it's river conditions are far better off in November for the contractor's work than waiting to March. So I could envision it being kind of reverse the second season.
Okay.
Would there be, I guess, concerns with that from the regional perspective?
No, not really. I don't think, really what you're talking about is putting the North Ladder outage in the early March versus the late November. And there's not a lot of use of that ladder either way, so without the bill, I don't think that's a problem. As long as we have the east ladder.
Okay. You want to summarize where we're at?
For the AWS?
Yeah.
So for the backup AWS, basically the MOC was agreed to as written with a preference for night work in March. Does that sound about right? Yes.
Yeah, I want to thank you guys for this MOC is quite well done. Thank you.
Thank you for that. All right, so moving on to the crane rail work. Mike, all yours.
Okay. Good morning. This is Mike Taraski. We wanted to chat about some aspects of removing railroads and replacing crane rails. There's many different aspects to this project, but there's a couple elements that had some fish passage operations issues, specifically work on the intake deck near the entrances to the ice and trash sluiceway on the upstream face, and then some issues with basically not having half the powerhouse available for generation during periods of the summer of 2017. And that has to do with the need to have the emergency crane available to access units that are operating. So Did folks see the Gantt chart that got sent out that, that kind of lays out some of the project schedule?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've tried to focus a lot of work during the in-water work windows, but there would be two periods, summer of 2016 and summer of 2017, where there'd be some work on the intake deck, and that work would be over or near the entrances to the ice and trash sluiceway, and we wanted to hear concerns or feedback about the applicability of those 50 or 100 foot setbacks from those entrances, and then what we, what approach we might want to take to address any concerns.
So you guys are working over sluiceway entrances, the sluiceway open gates. We did this at Bonneville too, years ago. And the kind of activity, from what I remember, it wasn't exactly that loud. It was just activity. Is there anything about this that's going to be excessively noisy?
I mean, there will be power tools, saws. I don't think anything especially noisy.
Not jackhammers or anything like that. You'll be cutting some concrete out, I suspect, and getting the rails out of there.
We'll be removing some grout. Is that going to take a jackhammer?
I wouldn't think it was a jackhammer. Maybe a chipping hammer.
So maybe a chipping hammer, not a jackhammer.
Still fairly noisy. Yeah, I still... Well, the nature of that work, is that a constant thing, or, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at, is how noisy is this going to be, and how consistently noisy?
I think it, you know, when they're removing the grout for those periods of time, it would probably be pretty consistently noisy.
Well, that activity would occur over units that are not operating, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, no, the railroad removal...
Yeah.
That's in the summer of 2016. Those units would be operating.
Okay.
You know, we've
so when you say limited power up capacity, what are you talking about?
So
yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, so that's a separate issue altogether in a different season. So that'd be in the summer of 2017.
Right.
So these intake deck crane rails, they serve the emergency gantry crane, which provides the second means of closure if there's a runaway unit. So from a project operation standpoint, it's pretty important to have that second means of closure available.
So you're talking two different rail systems here.
Yes.
I got it. Okay, I thought we were just talking an extension, one half of the other half of the powerhouse of the same... of the same rail system.
Right, so there's these derelict railroads, rails, that are
right.
Just going to be removed
right.
and just gone.
That's removed for good.
Yes.
Just getting rid of that.
Yep.
Gotcha. And then you got the crane rail, which is a replacement.
That's right.
Okay.
So the one that was the tour train and the other one's the crane rail?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about when you're taking out the old train tracks, that's not something that you need to worry about shutting units down for.
Exactly.
So you'll have units, so then the sluiceway will be operating normally, probably. The units will be operating normally, you'll just have the activity will be the issue.
That's correct.
Okay. Catching up.
So Gary, when this work was done at Bonneville, what were the restrictions?
I can't remember. Gee, that's been a while.
Oh.
It may even be before Ben's time on that one.
So which half of the powerhouse switching rails here? The crane rails, which, where are you going to leave the closure device?
So the working plan that we have for the summer of 2017 is to start at the east end of the powerhouse, and from the period July 16 to September 17, shut down units 15 through 22, and the crane would be at the north end or by the fish units. And then for the next month, for the August 27th to September 17th, units 11 through 22 would all be down, and the rails would be replaced there. And then on September 18th, we basically flip-flop and shut down units 1 through 10, and the emergency crane would be serving the east side of the powerhouse, so those units 11 through 22 would be back up. And then at the end of this summer, September 18th through November 13th, units 1 through 7 would be down. So we'd be working from east to west.
Okay, I don't see an issue at all with the, obviously you have half the powerhouse out, that could be a little, the food plate probably won't be as effective, but, you know, the units aren't running, so where are the fish going to go? They're going to go down to the other units, so we have a food plate running there. So I don't see that as an issue, but that's for 17. For 16, you'll be working over, at least at some point, intake gates that are open and pass the fish. That's where I see the biggest issue. Probably not a big issue, but it's probably the only issue I'm concerned about. And I don't know that it would even affect passage, to tell you the truth. This is daytime work, nighttime work, or both?
It could be both.
Are you planning both?
I think we're targeting daytime work for the railroad removal, but we could do nighttime work if it was necessary.
Okay. I mean, nighttime would be better for sluiceway passage because not as many fish use the sluiceway at night.
Gary, I think we're missing the issue. The railroad is just down below, isn't it?
No, it's also on the intake deck.
Yeah, it runs across the deck. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I see as an issue here, really. And it's a minor issue. But one thing we could do is just avoid using your open gates under the area that you're working. So, Bob, is there an issue with that? You're going to have units running across the powerhouse. Wherever they're working, if it's over one of our normally open gates, you might close those and open gates on an operating unit further away by a unit or so.
Yeah, we could move gates as needed.
I know it's a pain. You don't have automation on those, so you'd have to get out there. Is that possible when you're doing the work?
It is possible. It doesn't take them that long. They're getting pretty proficient at it now. We've been doing a lot of gate moving lately. But I don't know. I guess I just don't know what kind of benefit we're going to have from that. If we're looking at half the powerhouse
You're running the entire powerhouse
during this time. The entire powerhouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's you would have all the normal gates open as they normally are in the FPP.
Right.
But at some point, these guys are going to be working right over the top of those gates. So I would say while they're working right over the top of those gates, and they have the greatest chance for noise transmitted to the gate, that you might just go down a couple units and open the sluiceway gate there instead.
Yeah, we could do that.
And as they move past that point, you go back to original.
Yep.
Just kind of stay away. Keep the open gates away from where the guys are working by a unit or so.
Yeah, that's doable.
Otherwise, working at night would be the other option, but I don't know if that's really necessary.
What was that, Scott?
Is the recreational train rail removal coming out of the O&M fund?
No, it's part of the larger BPA-funded project.
Okay. Is it the Ladybird cleanup fund?
I think it's the slip, trip, hazard removal fund.
Okay.
All right, so...
So the only thing I might suggest, maybe I just didn't read it right, but you might clarify a little bit on the fact that there's actually two separate rail systems here. That was the in the MOC. Maybe it's clear there, but I didn't catch it.
I'd almost write two separate ones completely.
Yeah, that might be, or just divide this thing up into two parts.
The Crane Rail one has a lot of other issues associated with it.
Okay.
Go run down. Hopefully we're aware of how far out will be gone. So, I mean, how much extra spill do we want to have?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, we can. I think we can do that and break them into two separate. And the reason I say that is, you know, Matt Cutts is going to talk about the GSU transformer project, and we've got some work to do internally in terms of scheduling that transformer replacement work with the replacement of the crane rails on the intake deck. And so besides the power generation piece and the unit availability, there's this interaction with the transformer project. And we'll be talking more about that, probably internally, and then if things change, coming back to this discussion.
All right, it's probably a lot cleaner to split them up then.
What's the benefit of splitting them for the railroad removal and the crane rail replacement? Won't they kind of be going in the same location as they move down?
Well, they're happening in different seasons. The railroad removal is it's not nearly as time sensitive.
Oh.
So we're going to kind of get that done early and get it out of the way.
Okay.
It's not as messy. The other one's way more. A lot more variables involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, every time we change them, we'd have to say, and it doesn't affect the train rail or the recreational train or whatever you call those things.
The derelict.
I think it'd be a lot cleaner to make them into two whole separate projects.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just put that. Want me to work on that?
Sure.
Just yeah. Start it.
Sure.
So you're going to split these MOCs into two separate.
Yeah, and I think that would be beneficial to us because we could close out the railroad discussion and have that all tied up.
Okay.
And then we can keep working the intake deck scheduling and the unit outages.
Alright.
So what I'm hearing on the railroad rails is we're going to work the issue by changing the gate openings, and we're not looking at night work.
Yeah, that would be okay. Just we're talking July here, right? July, August.
Yeah,
really, for fish passage issues. So,
well, we're really talking potentially July through November. We don't.
Right, I'm just thinking of the height of the juvenile passage of July and August, so that's when we're most concerned. So, Bob, you would probably run whatever open unit is, you know, whatever unit's running the gate, at least I would separate them by a unit, you know, I mean, if you can get a unit away from the noise. It depends on how noisy it is. I just don't know. Maybe the adjacent unit's fine.
Yeah, we can go full.
Come up with something and put it in the MOC.
Okay.
Do you happen to know what gauge and what year the rail was made?
It's 104 or 105 gauge.
105 is just there. We went back to 104.
So it's 105 gauge, and it was original equipment.
Yeah, usually if the rail will say stamped on it what year it was made, year and month.
Wow.
Okay.
Tammy, okay. Move on.
Okay. Yes, I've got that all typed in. All right, so we have the railroad rail removal done, and the crane rail we'll deal with separately.
Is Tom still on?
Well, I am.
Yeah, did you have any questions or issues on that?
No, I just think I think what you hit on was right. It was like splitting these two out is going to be better. I mean, the crane rail, that should be fine. Some of the other stuff we're going to need to work on, though.
Okay.
I mean, is there any initial feedback on the fish passage concerns of taking down half the powerhouse in terms of unit priorities or things that we can be thinking or spill wall or?
Just spill in general. I mean, if you have 40% of the project, and, you know, I just think it's always that range of variability flows that you never know what you're going to get. So if they're average, life is good. If they're low, life is good. They're high. Are there any concerns on a forecast? You never know, but it's noteworthy to talk about. People would have concerns or not.
Hey, Doug, could you slide closer to the phone?
Oh, I just, yeah.
You know, about every third syllable.
Just as far as this spill question, I think Scott had alluded to that. I mean, I think everybody in the room would think it's noteworthy when you only have half of hydraulic capacity to any project, and so that kind of limits your flexibility, and so we might want to consider or at least have the discussion on if just ballpark, if your hydraulic capacity would be 300 at the project, you'd be spilling 40, you cut hydraulic capacity down to 150-ish, which should be fine, everything should be fine, and then you take that time and then you take the 40% spill off that, everything should be fine. Everything should be fine, but I think everybody in this room recognizes that it doesn't always turn out that way. So I guess just the thought would be, Gary, should there be, or anybody, if we find ourselves in a high water situation, would there be any concerns with patterns associated with disproportionate amount of spill greater than 40% when we only had maybe-ish 150-ish hydraulic capacity at the project? I was just looking at the average inflows for June and July, and it looks like it ranges between 300-ish in June, and then in July drops off quite a bit, more into the 250 down to the July. Looks like the range is 125 to, on the low end, up to 225. So it looks fine. It looks fine on paper.
Don't get hung up on the 40% as being a magical number. The best thing you can do is just try to keep the spill within the walls, and that's around, 122? So,
I can't imagine that in July we're going to have trouble with that. But
that okay. Way, yeah. So I just don't see this as being
I agree, Tom. And if we go into the September time frame with some spill, that's the split flow operation we've been talking about anyway. So we actually spent time in Mississippi last year sweating over that issue already.
So it sounds like just keep it in the wall.
That's
basically
an option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. It doesn't start till mid-July.
I guess I'm confused. I thought I heard June, but then I thought I heard July as well. So I guess
November.
Okay.
If I'm looking at the chart right that Tammy just sent out, it looks like July, start of July.
Okay. And again, looking at average inflows in July, you're below 250, so we should be fine. Everything should be fine.
Everything should be fine.
Nothing to see here. It'll all work out.
When spill shuts off in August, there could be an issue there. I don't know. That would be the only time, and if we had amazing flows.
Yeah, low likelihood there.
I think the bigger issue here is having half the powerhouse, the east half of the powerhouse down with a lot of attraction flow missing on that end for adult passage. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the bigger concern I would have. So, what time of the east? Okay.
How heavy are these gates?
They're They're heavy enough that with the pull down force, there's no other crane that we could get to close the gates.
There's no mobile crane?
No, because you have to drop in. There's three gates for each bay. You need to drop in all three gates at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so there'll be a separate MOC with this issue or these issues on it coming out. Will you have that in time for FPOM?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll get to see it next week.
So, when do we need to wrap these things up by for that one?
So let me just pull one.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking about this issue yet with the east end of the powerhouse being down. So the east entrance and all the attraction flow will be going as normal. You'll have all those units will be off over there, but that shouldn't be a problem, actually. It might be a bit of a problem, but it's something that we would have to really kind of keep an eye on, I guess.
You're thinking attraction flow for the east entrance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking you've got attraction flow, which is pretty good over there. You've got a lot of flow. The orifices are off. They're blocked. We've got the north powerhouse, the west powerhouse entrance is open.
Normal operation
will be.
Yeah, normal operation later in the year. There's very little running on that east side anyway.
So it should be okay. Okay, thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that with that priority.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably not an issue.
Is this going to be a continuous belt, or is it bolted together?
The rail will be bolted together.
Okay. Is there a chance you can finish a section? If something's going wrong, you just hook it back up and we can get the capacity back?
I think there could be a sort of midpoint break or something like that. And if flows came back up or something, we could explore how we would segment this into two seasons of work.
Sure. It sounds like it's something that we're not, completely committed to. You can undo a little bit in season if you really, really have to.
Yeah, I don't think we have to be committed to a whole 5-month or 4-month span of work.
Mm-hmm. No, for this year, no problem. We could be a lot of idle units for the next several months.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for splitting that. We'll chew on the other one a lot.
All right, so now we'll move on to the transformer delivery and installation.
Hi, this is Matt Cutts. The stage that we are in this project is actually we have awarded a design contract to HDR. They're going to do the installation design for us, and we have put together a tentative schedule for when we plan on doing the installation. That could potentially change, but for right now, can you put up the spreadsheet?
Thank you.
So what it shows is that in July of 17, we would start the first bank, and actually each bank is estimated to take approximately 4 months. The 2 month blocks that I put on this spreadsheet are actually the periods of time when we would need to have the crane rail project not restricting access, because during the first 2 months of each 4 month transformer outage, that's when we go in and pull out the old transformer tanks, and then we do the other demolition associated with the removal of the old transformers And then the last part of that, and then we do the installation of the isophase bus and other associated equipment and wiring. And then finally, the last part of that first 2 months, we put in the new transformers. And then the remaining 2 months that's not highlighted after each bank shown there is when the transformers are connected and filled with oil and tested and commissioned. So each installation actually takes 4 months. And as I said, the reason that I highlighted the areas that I did is because I was most interested in seeing what the interaction might be between the crane rail project and the transformer project. And Mike and I talked about that, and the only way that we could actually do this work simultaneously is probably splitting apart the crane rail project into several sections, which we're still considering, but might not be a real doable solution. So we've got a meeting scheduled for Thursday to consider that. So,
Stanley, this is the first I've heard of this transformer stuff. I mean, as far as it's not on any of the stuff you sent out, is it?
No, it's not. It's an added project because we started seeing potential conflicts with the other work that's going to occur.
So is this a core issue, not a fishery issue, or is this a fishery issue?
Well, there's
going to be both, Gary.
There will be an
getting some information out then.
No, there will be an MS.
They're going to take half the units out with the transformers, and the other half will be out with the crane. So
take them all out. That could be an issue for you. I could see that. We want to have a traction flow to the north ladder. Oh, wait a minute. I guess we would, wouldn't we?
Anyway, I think there's a potential for some conflict, so it'd be really great if you guys could flesh out an MLC for this one as well once you figure out what you're, kind of how you're going to dance together.
Yeah, it sounds like the core needs to get this one kind of put together before it goes out to the FPOP.
How many transformers do you have total? Are you doing them all?
No, there are 11 transformers. We're doing 7 banks.
Okay. Now, are any of them attached to the fish unit?
Yes, TA is attached to the fish unit. And so I think we would plan on doing that during the in-water work period. However, we can reroute the power out of the fish units through T1. So we're still finalizing the order. And we will most likely install transformer T1 before we do TA, which handles power from the fish units. And that way, while we're doing TA, we can just route the fish unit power out through T1.
Can you do TA during the time when it's out for the AWS?
What's that?
Right. TA would be out during the time of AWS work when it's out anyway, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is it? When's the? Because the first transformer didn't show until July.
So can you guys cook up a new MLC for this one and then get back to the group?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Let's do that. I can only hear about half of the conversation here.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
You just agree, Gary.
And one last thing I'd like to mention is we did take a look at priority units. My understanding is priority units are 1 through 4, 8, and 18. And T2 handles units 3 and 4. That's already been done. It's not part of this project. T4 handles units 7 and 8. That's already done, not part of this project. And T9 handles unit 18. So the only overlap with fish units is T1, which handles units 1 and 2. So we'll keep that in mind. And most likely we'll not propose doing T1 between March and September.
Excellent.
So all these right. aren't coming by barge by chance, are they?
At this point, that's not our plan. I cannot predict what our particular contractor is going to do, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be delivered by truck.
Yeah. I've had enough barges on transformers for a while.
Okay.
All right, so we will get an MOC out on that and hopefully have that for you by next week at FPOM. We'll have the MOC for the crane rail replacement and the railroad rail removal broken out and ready for you at FPOM. The MOC for the backup AWS is pretty much, you guys have given concurrence on that, so I'd say that one's pretty much done right now. Are there any other comments or issues to bring up?
No, Tim, if you could just bring the finalized ones to FPOM so other people that weren't on the call could take a look at them.
Nope.
And at least be somewhat informed. And make sure the notes reflect that everything's going to be fine.
I wasn't even taking notes, Tom.
There are no notes.
There are no notes. I thought you guys were taking notes. That's not my job anymore.
You haven't, you need to direct someone to take notes now. I hear Rarisich has a delightful penmanship.
No, I've seen it. Yes, there will be notes. You will get sent those notes probably within the hour. Depends
Thank
upon
you.
How I feel about it. All right. Are there any other comments?
No. Nope. Don't worry, be happy.
That's right. Don't worry, Gary. Be happy. It's your birthday month. You should be very happy.
I'm so happy.
On that note, if there's no other comments, then I would say that we are done.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in, you guys.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Please start an MOC for the transformers. You're going to start it.